Always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, potentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.
How about that? I'm sitting in Vic's chair. It's Karen Cataline filling in for Vic Porcelli, who is on a well-deserved Christmas week vacation. What an honor and a pleasure it is to be here and to sit in for him. And Merry Christmas to him and Ken Williams. Well, I don't have time to chatter right now, but I will have time to chatter in the next hour and hopefully hear from you. We have our very first guest, Rob Bluey, who I know you're familiar with, a regular on the Vic Porcelli Show. He's president and executive editor at the Heritage Foundation's The Daily Signal. He's also a former editor of Human Events and has written for The Daily Caller, Red State, Andrew Breitbart's Big Government, and The Washington Examiner. What a pleasure it is to talk to you, Rob Bluey, on News Talk STL.
Good morning, Karen. Good to be with you.
Good morning. I was looking at, because you're executive editor, I was looking at the Daily Signal, and I was delighted to see on the front page an article about Doji. I don't know exactly how they would like us to pronounce it. It's hilarious that people call it Doji, Doje, Doji. Whatever, you got a great article. Capitol Hill's Doji lawmakers ready to reduce regulatory burdens for everyday Americans. Talk to us about that article, because a lot of us are looking forward to this.
Well, and for good reason. I mean, let's face it, it's been a long time coming since Capitol Hill and even Republicans on Capitol Hill put a focus on government spending, the excesses of it, the excessive regulation that small business owners oftentimes face as an impediment to making a profit and succeeding in life. And so I think it's really encouraging that Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk have taken this task so seriously. And even before Trump takes office on January 20th, you're already seeing the effects of this. And so, yes, we did feature an article from Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas. That's the one you're referring to. And I will tell you, as somebody who is one of the first people to join this Department of Government Efficiency Caucus, which is the of course, DOGE or DOGE acronym, as you referenced, that is one of those things that it's not going to be an easy task, as you and I both know. Yes. Everybody likes to bring home some special projects for their district. But at the end of the day, I think for our country to survive and to reduce the debt burden on future generations, we need to start acting now.
Well, we saw in the last debt fight, the budget fight, which is just a clown show, the resistance of both parties to reduce the size and scope of government. How do you feel about the CR that just happened? A lot of us weren't happy about it. Still, what do you think?
There is a number. First of all, I would say the fact that Donald Trump does not need to be dealing with a government shutdown on the precipice of his inauguration is probably something that he welcomes. And so I certainly understand the desire to get things done and to delay this fight again until March. That gives him about 2 months to figure out what he wants to do with the rest of this fiscal year spending plan. And hopefully Republicans, despite their narrow margins in the House and Senate, can come together on a solution. I think that the thing that was the problem this time around is, number one, normally a continuing resolution means that you pass a simple bill that could just be a few pages in length that extends the current spending levels out a few months. And then when they introduced a 1,500-page bill with all sorts of other items attached to it, I think the American people rightly revolted and said, no, we're not going to put up with this again. We know how this usually works in Congress. You set these deadlines right before Christmas because you want to get out of town, and then you pass something that we're left with the bill. And that's not fair. That's not fair to the American taxpayer who's done this. Now, at the end of the day, they ended up stripping out a lot of those things. There was disaster aid, $110 billion. There was aid for farmers, about $10 billion. And those were not paid for. And so you had 30-some Republicans say, I'm sorry, we need to find cuts in the federal budget if we're going to add new spending. And I certainly admire what they were saying in that respect. And I think that they need to have more Republicans stand firm on that in the future if we're actually serious about reducing the debt in this country.
Rob, let me tell you, when I hear about this, I'm thinking big picture. I know there are a lot of people, Vic Porcelli listeners not among them, who aren't watching really, really closely. And to me, it's hilarious, first of all, to call it government efficiency, you know, because it's sort of like what we used to joke about military intelligence. That's why it's kind of cheeky. But it's not just about the money. It's not just about balancing the budget, which we haven't had forever, cutting money out of the budget. It is fundamentally about liberty. You know, when citizens are afraid of their government, there's tyranny. When government is afraid of the citizens, there's liberty. That's what I think is really going on here that they are so resistant to. What do you think? Well,
absolutely. And you and I and probably most of Vic's listeners would probably agree that there has been a steady encroachment upon our liberty and our freedoms over the course of the past decades, both under Republican and Democrat presidents. I mean, if you look at the explosion of spending that took place during the COVID pandemic, I think we look back on that period now and we said, what on earth were we doing? You know, if we just simply didn't shut everything down and impose these mandates on the American people, which, if there was an infringement on anyone's liberty, I would say it was during that period of time. But you can go back well before that. I mean, the last time we had a balanced budget in this country was when Bill Clinton was president. That was, well over, two decades ago. And so we need to get back to a situation. And I'm hoping that Donald Trump, with the help of Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, will take that approach. But it's going to take a lot of work because, let's face it, everybody who's basically been in Congress for the last 25 years is accustomed to running up the deficits. And you wouldn't do that in your home. I mean, if you did do that in your own family, you'd face serious consequences. You'd go bankrupt and you have a situation in Congress where they keep adding to the credit card to the tune of now $36 trillion. I mean, it is unsustainable. We're now paying so much on the interest on our national debt that we're not able to afford other things that we would like to accomplish. And so there are a lot of Americans struggling out there due in part to inflation, which is a direct result of government spending. And so Trump, I think, can make real big headwinds if he tackles this issue. If he's going to bring down the cost of gas, groceries and rent, the best thing that he can do is to bring down the government spending. And I'm hopeful that that's a high priority of his.
I couldn't agree more. And a lot of people are beginning to understand that that's how we got this runaway inflation. You mentioned something that was exactly where I wanted to go, along with many others. It's a huge topic, and that is the pandemic spending. What I heard, since I didn't and couldn't read 1,500 pages or even the second version, I heard all kinds of horrific things that we watched firsthand that happened during COVID. And that is, it was an excuse to completely stomp all over our liberties, our rights. It was a Christmas package for lefties who wanted to tell people what they could do, where they could go. I mean, we could go on and on, but we've all lived it. We watched it. They emptied prisons and imprisoned citizens. And for any Republican to vote for that makes me highly suspicious that these people have an agenda that are not even close to what the American people think, feel, want, and need. I'd love your thoughts on that.
Yes. Well, thank you. And that is precisely what was taking place during COVID. And just to be fair, I mean, some of the spending did start under Donald Trump's watch in an effort to make sure that we stimulated the economy and didn't completely crash. But what happened is Joe Biden then took it. And Donald Trump had largely set us on a path to recovery by the time that he left office in January 2021. And what Biden did was just double down on the spending. And you couple that spending and some of those other laws that were passed at the time that were really misguided. I mean, talk about a misnomer, calling it the Inflation Reduction Act. It did the exact opposite and increased inflation. I mean, so, you know, you have to wonder what the Democrats were. They sometimes come up with these clever phrases. But
the opposite of what they planned. Right.
Right. But then on top of that, and this is to the point of the article you referenced earlier by Congressman Estes, they went crazy when it came to regulations. And so the regulatory burden on the American people, those costs that we don't often think of because they're not being debated before Congress and you can't contact a lawmaker. These are all the executive branch employees who are doing this behind the scenes. That added $1.37 trillion or more, in terms of red tape and other compliance costs. And so all of these things take away our liberty and are obviously the American people facing increasing government regulations is in no way going to help spur economic growth. And it's going to be just an added cost onto your everyday living. And so I'm hopeful that, Vivek and Elon will not only take a look at spending, because remember, so much of the spending today is mandatory, either through Social Security or Medicare, all of those things that increase automatically every year. You have a very limited slice of the pie that you can actually cut. But one area where Trump had success in his first term was, remember, he said, for every new regulation, you have to cut two regulations. Well, he's upped the ante and now said, for every new regulation that the government proposes, you have to cut three regulations. And let's hope that he follows through on that pledge and holds to that promise.
I'm so glad that he understands that, because we know that Trump was not by nature a politician, and he was thrown into the biggest job there was. He had a high learning curve, and he really got it on a fundamental level, because let's face it, he's a businessman, that it isn't just about money. In politics, money is power. That's what it's about. And I think that's what watchers are most concerned about, is that they sneak these things in that are so egregious to the Constitution. The globalists who want us to take orders from, who knows, you know, a whole bunch more alphabet agencies, the WHO, you name it, the CDC, others who want to control our lives. And many people saw it in spades with healthcare. So I don't think, I guess it's great that we can just call it government efficiency. But those in the know that it is to reduce government power. And that's why I know there's going to be such pushback. In our last couple minutes, talk about what you expect the pushback to be, because we already saw an inkling of it. When you cut people's power, that's their rice bowl, and they're not going to take it sitting down.
Sure. I think it's going to come in a few different waves. So the first wave you're already seeing, and that is, you know, Donald Trump has nominated these officials, whether it be Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the health space, Tulsi Gabbard in the intelligence space, Pete Hegseth for the military and defense, and you're seeing strong resistance among the Democratic senators who represent those government interests and those employees who don't necessarily want to see the status quo changed. And so they're going to do everything they can to throw dirt at these nominees and try to defeat them in the Senate so that they will not be confirmed. The good news is that to this date, despite all of their grumblings, not a single Republican senator has come out to oppose any of the nominees. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get all 53 Republicans on board to vote for them, but they just need to lose. The most they can lose is three, and J.D. Vance would cast the tie-breaking vote in a case like that. And so that is the first wave. The second wave is going to be when they're actually in their positions in office. And so if Pete Hegseth is running the Department of Defense, you better believe that there are going to be career bureaucrats who are going to resist him at every turn. We saw this in the first Trump term and the types of things that they did, trying to undermine Trump's agenda. And then finally, I think this is the area where it'll ultimately prove effective. Joe Biden just made news because he confirmed his 235th judge in the Senate before they recessed. That's one more than Donald Trump. A lot of these actions that Trump's officials will take will probably end up in the court of law. So this third wave is, will it get through the judiciary and be successful and have a long-term impact? Because obviously the next president could come in and just do away with all of the executive branch decisions that Trump made. And so we need to really to make sure that this is not something that just lasts 4 years, but maybe 8 or 12 years in order for it to have its true meaningful effect. And as you said, even if government efficiency isn't the correct word, maybe reducing government power is.
Well, I like it that it's government efficiency. It's kind of cheeky in a way, because again, you know, a lot of people, there are some people who are really terrified at the thought of the government shutting down. Some of us who watch go, wait a minute, shut it down. Please shut it down. Get off my back. And even lefty journalists had trouble finding things that would really be hurtful. We remember Obama, you know, shutting down, even looking at the Mount Rushmore, you know, so he wanted to make it hurt. Right, you know, you need us. We'll tell you why.
Right, exactly. I mean, over the course of these next 2 weeks, I bet you better believe that most government employees are going to be on Christmas vacation anyways. So I think that the effects of a shutdown would have been minuscule. However, they would have looked for those opportunities, national parks being one of the prime examples, or they would have tried to make it painful for the American people. That's what they do, and the complicit media just goes right along with it.
Yeah, looks like this newbie covering for Vic Porcelli. I gotta go. Tell everybody how they can find you at the Daily Signal, and Merry Christmas to you too.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for doing a great job filling in for Vic today. It's always a pleasure to start the week with him and your listeners. You can go to dailysignal.com to sign up for our email newsletters or keep track of the latest news. We'll be busy over the Christmas break. Donald Trump is not slowing down, and I imagine we'll have quite a bit of news to cover.
Well, sounds great. I can see why it has you as a regular. What a pleasure it was to talk to you. Rob Bluey, everyone, at Heritage Foundation's The Daily Signal. Thank you, Johnny, also, who's sitting behind the glass helping me to do this show. I don't hear any music happening, but my clock says we're supposed to take a break. So I'm going to take one and hope we hear music. There we go. That's me making a mistake. Whatever. We will be back on News Talk STL, and I'll tell you who we have next. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is 101.9 and 94.1.
Millennial Trump supporter. I listen to it like every day. Like, seriously, you get it.
News Talk STL.
Okay, so it's time to have a little fun, right? You have the big family dinner getting ready for Christmas, right? And the family's all over the house. When everybody goes, everybody leaves, and the kids go to sleep, yep, that's time for you and your husband or you and your wife to have a little fun together. And you can get all your equipment. Make this sound like it's a sport, right? Like it's a sports thing. If you want to get all your equipment, get it at Dr. John's. They have three locations in Fenton, Farmington, and Wood River, Illinois. And a great full assortment of male and female enhancement supplements. They have novelties, lingerie, videos. Get a little movie night, right? Dr. John's and chill. You see what I'm saying? Dr. John's and chill. You get it? If you're looking for something out of the ordinary, Dr. John's has you covered there. Anything you may want to do. Right? Secret agent, you know, Mrs. Santa, whatever you want to do. Hey, how you doing, baby? That's what you'll get. So go to Dr. John's, three locations, Fenton, Farmington, and Wood River, Illinois. Make an appointment to see the doctor, Dr. John's.
Jewels on Hampton and St. Louis Hills is paying some of the highest prices on gold, silver, diamonds, semi-precious colored stones, coins, flatware, and fine watches on site. Jewels on Hampton is a premier jeweler featuring Alvanza's jewel art designs with an exquisite selection of diamonds, semi-precious stone jewelry, and vintage watches. Their expert design team can restyle your jewelry to today's contemporary style. They also do jewelry and watch repair. Need extra cash? Jewels on Hampton is paying some of the highest prices on gold, silver, diamonds, semi-precious colored stones, coins, flatware, and fine watches. Bring in your collectibles and clocks and sports memorabilia and figurines too. Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton, just 3 blocks south of Chippewa, and jewelsonhampton.com. Call them at 314-752-5000, 314-752-5000, and jewelsonhampton.com. Jewels on Hampton.
If you have a phone, you have a radio.
Download the News Talk STL app.
Love the News Talk STL app.
On my way to work in the morning.
Usually I'm in the car.
I listen on the app in my car every morning going to work.
Download the News Talk STL app and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to News Talk STL. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for the great Vic Porcelli and his great engineer sidekick, Ken Williams. If you've listened, shameless plug to Vic and I and Ken chatter on Mondays and Thursdays, you'll know that he incessantly teases me about the fact that I love this next guest, one of my favorite guests ever. I've had him on numerous times, and now Vic thinks we're you know, making wookie together. I told John that, and he just laughed. So you've got the opportunity to hear us go, mwah, 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 I love you, I love you, and have me gush over him. John Zamirak, senior editor at stream.org. He was a press secretary for Louisiana Governor Mike Foster, as well as a reporter and editor at Success Magazine and Investors Business Daily. He's co-author of 14 books, including his latest book, No Second Amendment, No First. My sweetie, John Zamirak, joins us here on News Talk STL. Hi, John.
Hi, Karen. How are you doing? You getting ready? Enjoying your prep for the holidays?
Yes, I am. And we also have a great fun talking about the fact that at least this year, Hanukkah starts the evening of Christmas Day. And stream.org, for those of you who don't know, is a Catholic online publication. And John is amazingly prolific on that space. And there's an article that you just wrote that you told me you wanted to talk about. And I said, oh, baby, let's do it. Well, I didn't say, oh, baby, but you know. How we can reverse Biden's lawless immigration surge despite the moral hysteria of the media and our pastors, in the stream by John Zamirak. Tell us about this article and why you're so passionate about it.
Thanks, Karen. Actually, it's a Christian ecumenical website, just so everybody knows.
Is what?
The stream is actually evangelical and Christian and Catholic.
Oh.
It's ecumenical.
Oh,
no,
okay.
It's not even mostly Catholic. Yeah, thanks. But
okay.
Yeah, and since my own Catholic Church is unfortunately one of the main forces behind the human trafficking of Biden's lawless immigration, I feel a special obligation to step up and say something about this. Like, the U.S. Catholic bishops made $3 billion. With a B, $1 billion from the government for nonprofit contracts, mostly for bringing immigrants into the country in the last 15 years. $3 billion. So if you ever wonder why Catholic bishops want open borders, it's 100% money. And again, getting warm bodies into the pews for a few years because they run off 40% of native-born Catholics, leave the church and never come back. So they want to steal sheep from the neighboring sheepfold to sort of fill in the empty pews for a while before those people leave too.
You know what, John? I just want to ask you quickly, and I know, yeah, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but you know, it must be difficult with the current Pope, who's like a... It's not replacement theology. It's that politically activist leftist part of...
you're thinking of liberation theology.
That's it.
Yeah, he's
clearly one of those.
He's like liberation theology with a lobotomy in drag.
Boy, see, I wouldn't have gone that far.
No, but, I mean, when I was...
Yes,
when
it's got to be painful.
I say, you know, it's kind of... It's bad when the Pope is a dumb gay communist. I am at the point where I think he must have lost his office, that he cannot be considered the Pope anymore because he's no longer a Catholic. And you can't be the Pope if you're not actually Catholic. Pope Francis
is teaching heresy. I'm just dying to ask you this question.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pope before him, it was unprecedented that he left being a Pope before. It wasn't a lifetime commitment. And it just seems like the powers that be wanted a communist Pope and they installed him. Is that not Is that not a conspiracy theory we can accept as possible?
I think it was a coup, and I think the Obama administration and the people they left in office were in on it. Probably. But it's certainly unprecedented and crazy. And but the problem is there are deep-seated corrupt tendencies in every Western religion. There is a variety of it that is a suicide cult. Look at anti-Zionist liberal Jews who make excuses for Hamas supporters and
must
don't want
we?
Israel
yes.
to defend it.
It's our cross to bear, John. It's horrible.
Look at Protestants like you see Christianity today, people like David French and Russell Moore, who think America can't defend itself. We can't fight voter fraud. We can't impose national borders. We have to just basically be a masochist whipping boy for the world. And that's what Jesus would do. And any worldview, however intrinsically wholesome, can be perverted in the hands of fallen people. We are fallen and imperfect, and I really do believe there is a devil who tries to corrupt and pervert everything we do. So if we don't follow the still small voice of our consciences, we will be vulnerable. We'll be misled. Or as I like to tell people, I like to say it's pronounced misled. Not misled, it's pronounced misled from the original Yiddish. Which
misled?
Is not true, but I think it's amusing. Yes. Yes.
Not to be confused with mazel, which is luck, really. Right? It's good luck. This isn't good luck at all. You know, that's why it's so much fun. There's so many reasons why it's fun to talk to you, because you can rattle off stuff that you never mince words. Never mince words. Getting back to the the homicide rate among I pulled this article from the Tennessee Star. Convicted homicide rate among non-detained, I love that term, non-detained illegal migrants 13 times higher than the U.S. average, costing Americans $166 billion. Talk about that, if you would, and your article.
Well, so in the article, I'm talking about how Trump can begin to reverse Biden's lawless invasion of America without it turning into a PR nightmare. If you remember when they said Trump was putting children in cages and separating families back in 2017, what he was doing was continuing and expanding an Obama administration policy that when somebody shows up at the border with a minor child or two, let's say a 35-year-old guy with a lot of tattoos shows up with 3 10-year-old girls, you check, and he says, yeah, I'm their uncle, I'm their father. You check. How do you check? You separate them, and then you speak to the girls in Spanish or whatever they speak, and you ask them questions. You try to make sure they're not being sex trafficked by someone who's in a cartel. That's what Trump was doing. And in fact, he instituted DNA tests. So if somebody says, yeah, this is my daughter, oh, we'll just do a quick DNA test. Oh, no, she's not your daughter. You're under arrest. That is what Trump was doing. He was protecting immigrant children from sex traffickers. Eduardo Verástegui, this great Mexican former soccer player and actor who's now running for president on the Conservative Party in Mexico, he wrote a column for the stream, please, President Trump, protect Latino children, build the wall.
Is that because great? That's
yeah,
great.
He made the movie Sound of Freedom about the massive problem of sex trafficking into the United States, of American perverts and people who run sweatshops benefiting off the backs of little immigrant children. So... But when Trump, and then when Biden came in office, he suspended this policy and got rid of the DNA tests. What possible good motive could there be for not using DNA tests to see if little children being brought into the country are actually related to the people who claim they're related to them?
That's the $72,000 question. What right. is the motive? And it ain't a good one. It ain't a good one. And do we put this at the feet of not just Catholics, but other churches who are taking the money and funding this nightmare? I think it's immoral, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've written an article at the Stream. I want the Trump Department of Justice to do a RICO investigation of all these religious charities, Catholic charities, but there are little Lutheran ones, there are Baptist ones, and of the U.S. Catholic bishops for human trafficking, because they are smuggling illegals into the country and then cashing government checks for it. So in my article, I say, how can Trump avoid this PR nightmare? If he tries to mass deport 8 million people, that's a lot of sob stories that are going to be on the TV, you know? Well, the one thing to do is first start with going after the criminals, the ones who have committed crimes in addition to illegal immigration, because, of course, that's a crime. Go after the every one of them that if they steal a Bic pen, you deport them, and they are never going to be allowed to enter the country again, not even as a tourist. That's the first step. Next step, implement E-Verify nationwide. That's where every employer in the country has to check the legal status of people before they hire them. I bet you didn't know that.
I apologize, John. We got to go. We got hard breaks coming up, I think. I apologize for interrupting. It's important. I don't think we need to shy away. He's got a mandate to undo this nightmare. John, how can people find you, follow you? I know where they can, thestream.org. And right. also, where do they get your book, No Second Amendment, No First?
That's available at Amazon. So please check
John,
it out. Everyone have a Merry Christmas.
We did it.
Thank you.
We talked to each other together on News Talk STL. Merry Christmas to you. Keep up the great work.
Happy Hanukkah.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Take care. Bye. Well, we have one more interview this hour. Bonner Cohen, whom you know, we will talk to him about a bunch of cool stuff when we get back. Karen Cataline filling in for Vic Porcelli on News Talk STL. Don't go away.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to the Vic Porcelli Show here on News Talk STL. I'm Karen Cataline, happily filling in for Vic today on Christmas week. It happens to be Hanukkah, too. Make sure you get that phlegm in there, Hanukkah. Anyway, we have another regular guest of Vic Porcelli Show. And Johnny, the producer, said, "Oh, the pipes on this guy." And I remember this is the guy that has the marvelous bass voice. Can't wait to hear him. Bonner R. Cohen, senior policy analyst with the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, where he concentrates on energy, natural resources, and international relations. He also serves as a senior policy advisor with Heartland Institute, senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research, and an adjunct scholar at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wow. Talk to me, Bonner Cohen. Thanks for joining us again.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And in the spirit of the season, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, baby. How often do you get this? It's like a person who's 6'8", and people say, you know, how's the weather up there? When they hear your voice, do they say, whoa, that voice?
I don't know where it came from. And the odd thing about it is the older I get, the deeper it gets. So God knows what it's going to be in 20 years.
Probably a basso. It sounds already like what we used
you don't
to
even
call
want to think
a basso profundo. Do you sing, by the way?
Yes. Surprise, surprise. I've seen Base 2.
Oh, I love it.
I have
that
no
is
range.
Great.
So if you want to go upscale, you got to find somebody else. But I'm one of these how low can you go guys.
Oh, I love it. Now this is just totally spontaneous on my part. Did you ever do the oomapa, 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 mau, mau?
Oomapa, 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 mau, mau.
Oh, I love it.
And
also, now you can sing Elvira.
Spirit of the season.
Yes.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
You know, you could do voiceovers. You could.
I've been told that, right?
Stuff. So we got to talk about the weather, the climate course, and you wrote an article called Trump Charts a New Climate Course. Tell us about this. I hope it's not going to be... I could talk to you for another half an hour about voices and songs and music and all that. But I'm sure the people want to know, what's been your latest article here on climate change?
Well, they're going to be, speaking of change, they're going to be a lot of changes in store come next year, because the
yes.
Trump administration is certain to reverse just about every climate / regulatory policy dealing with how we live our lives that you can possibly imagine. This will be everything from doing away with as much as possible with all the handouts. And these are handouts of taxpayers' money going primarily from the Department of Energy, but also from other agencies into the hands of eager recipients who are purveyors of various forms of green energy and green technologies. And these are, they're called loans and grants, but they're handouts. And they're propping up industries which otherwise could not stand on their own 2 feet. That will be welcome because we know what a tremendous debt problem the country has. And a country with our problem with debt has absolutely no business spreading taxpayers' wealth into the hands of people who don't really deserve it, but are politically well connected. I would add that the United States has the world's most advanced capital markets. So if your business is really good and you want to have an infusion of cash so that you can expand, you can easily go to the capital markets rather than soaking the taxpayer. So there's a lot to be said there. I think you're also going to see the end of mandates essentially banning the consumers from purchasing gas stoves, gas heaters, gas furnaces in favor of electric stoves, electric gas heaters, and electric furnaces, also known as heat pumps, which are considerably more expensive and for which we do not have the requisite electricity given the sad state of our electric grid. So also, I think you're going to see a huge change with respect to wind power and solar power, both of which are being propped up courtesy of the U.S. taxpayers. Trump supposedly loathes offshore wind turbines, and a lot of the people who voted for him last month are also those who have stood as best they possibly could in the way of seeing our beautiful countryside transformed into a patchwork of wind turbines and solar arrays. So a lot of big changes are in store.
Well, yeah, and I won't say you stole my thunder, but I already stole my own thunder last week. The climate is changing, and it ain't the weather. It's the political climate is changing big time, and your article points that out. What gets me, who's not a scientific person at all, you know, I'm not great at science exactly, although I'm curious about it, is the fact that no matter how preposterous a hoax and a fear-mongering narrative the left puts out and people roll their eyes at it, no matter how many times that is, they still stick with that and do it anyway. You know, yes, in fact, yes, I pulled
recently,
this.
They did it with incredible success. They managed to capture just about every institution in the United States, K through 12 education, college education, the corporate boardroom, the mainstream media were all very receptive to their message. Their message had scientifically no value whatsoever. The term climate change is redundant. Climates always change. We've had 17
It's called the weather.
That's right. 17 ice ages in the last 2 million years. We're currently living in an interglacial period, which means we're living between the last ice age and the next one. So be prepared, whether it starts next week or 5,000 years from now, we don't know, but the next ice age is going to come. And that's the climate change that we really need to worry about, not the phony one that is being imposed on us as the pretense for a gigantic power grab on the part of the federal and many state and local governments.
Exactly. I pulled this meme, which is absolutely wonderful. 50 years of failed climate doomsday predictions. And I don't think that conservatives were as great as they could have been to really expose the fraud. But I guess, you know, Trump got a mandate. So maybe they were much more effective than I give them credit. 1970s, killer bees. 1972, pending depletion of shortages of gold, tin, oil, natural gas. 2005, 50 million climate refugees by the year 2020. And it goes on and on and on. None of it was true. None of it, none of it, none of it.
None of it.
Kind
all
of like this.
Scare you into do something you otherwise would not do, because
that puts
power and in many cases money in their hands. That's the name of the game that's being played here.
Yeah. And they do it with almost everything. That's why, not to get off the subject, but it's all kind of connected. That's why during COVID they emptied the prisons to make the streets unsafe, and then told you to defund the police. Whatever they do, it is to set up an agenda that they've already created and they want to justify it somehow. It's kind of like that wraparound smear, you know, that Nancy Pelosi, you plant the story because it explains the agenda that you had before the story ever came about. Do you think it was a good that conservatives did well enough? Because a lot of people today are starting to roll their eyes when they say climate change, climate change.
These people have told so many lies so many times, and they have now convinced themselves that it's in our interest that they tell us which automobiles we can and cannot buy, which appliances we can have in our homes, which building materials we can use in our homes and in our commercial facilities, and people are fed up with this. And you're quite right to point to COVID, because here too, mandates were imposed on us in the name of combating the spread of COVID, but many of those mandates had absolutely nothing to do with or had any effect on the spread of the disease. The face masks, which were utterly useless, completely useless, the mRNA vaccines, which
weren't vaccines.
Do away with transmitting COVID from one person to the next and provided no immunity whatsoever, zero. They weren't real vaccines, not polio vaccines. These were essentially serums that were cooked up in labs that were rushed through the approval process of the Food and Drug Administration. So the similarities that people experienced after being systematically duped and lied to during COVID, a real disease, but the public health establishment did not rise to the occasion in any way, shape, or form in combating it, but used the pretense of the disease to bully the rest of us. Well, we've been seeing the same thing with climate. People have had enough of this, and I think that was reflected in the events of last November the 5th.
Boy, we see a pattern. We see the same pattern over and over and over again until you start connecting the dots and say, well, this is part of their strategy. Listen, before we go, and we have some more time here, I wanted you to talk a little bit about CFACT.org. There's lots going on there, and tell everybody a little more about
CFACT has been around for around 40 years, and we focus primarily on environmental issues, the climate, regulatory issues, excuses governments and environmental groups and others dream up to take control of your land, to seize it outright, or restrict how you can use your land, whether you're a farmer, a rancher, or somebody living in suburbia. And to that end, we publish a lot of articles on our website. We also have podcasts you can listen to, because you know the better citizens are informed, the greater their chances of combating the agenda that some very powerful people have been trying to impose on us. So you can check us out at our website, which is CFACT.org. That is CFACT.org.
Now, I'm looking at the website right now, and there are podcasts with your Basso Profundo. Do you do a podcast too, Bonner?
I do podcasts too, because I do a lot of radio interviews like this one, but I also do podcast interviews and occasional TV interviews, and we post those as well as podcast interviews with a colleague of mine whom I'm sure our listeners have seen on television, Mark Morano, also highly entertaining and very informative at the same time. So you can read or you can listen, preferably do both.
Yes, and you can get his article, Trump Charts a New Climate Course, Bonner Cohen. One last thing. It's interesting that when the 10-year mark happens, or Al Gore, it turns out that he was lying through his little teeth, I think it is perfectly good to mock these people and say,
the world will end in 7 years.
Exactly.
Or the climate will explode the earth in 10 years. 7 years pass, or the 10 years pass. Absolutely nothing has happened whatsoever.
Yes.
And they're never held accountable for it. They just walk on to the next dire prediction, which will be every bit as inaccurate as the previous one.
Exactly. My theory is a lot of conservatives are too nice, and now they're getting a lot bolder, and they need to be bold and confident in saying, wait a minute.
There's something to be said for being grumpy occasionally. That's right.
Yes.
Nope, I've had
enough. Grumpy is good. Bonner Cohen, thank you so much for joining us here on the Ellen, excuse me, I almost said somebody else's name, Vic Porcelli. Merry Christmas to you. It's a pleasure to talk to you and to hear your marvelous voice.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to mention we have one more hour. I'm having such a good time here. And just to give you a heads up on what we will be talking about, I'm going to take my own time slot that I do on Mondays and wax a little philosophic. But if you'd like to call me right after the top of the hour, 10:05, 10:06, 314-912-1019. That's 314-912-1019. I love classic call-in talk radio, and I don't want it to die. I also love what we call terrestrial radio, which is sort of funny. So if podcasts are extraterrestrial, then regular talk radio that you listen to, like the great News Talk STL, is terrestrial radio. That's what it is. And so in my hope of keeping that alive, I hope that you will call in if you have I have some questions for you, but you can talk about anything. It's okay. It's kind of a short segment, but there's enough time to take calls. 314-912-1019. We'll also have my friend, Dr. Steve Grant, a pastor. I've had him on many, many times, and then we'll wrap up with Douglas Blair. So don't go away. We're going to take a top of the hour break here on News Talk STL. We'll be right back.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.